Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and each week I meet with military veterans about their civilian career, what they do, and how they got there. Today's episode number 146 with Clay Opik.
Networking has been my number one key to success post-active duty. And I'm not a real super social kind of person, but leveraging my network has been the number one thing that I've done to help me out.
Well, today's episode is a resource episode about Three Rangers Foundation, which is a volunteer organization and nonprofit that helps to connect veterans with opportunities that will empower them and help them achieve lifelong success. In this episode, we talk about Three Rangers Foundation. We talk about networking. We talk about common challenges and failures and how that can prepare you for your future. As always, at beyondtheuniform.io, you'll find show notes with everything we discuss. You'll find our mailing list, which is my primary vehicle for communication. And if you have a chance to give us a great review on iTunes, I would greatly appreciate it. With that, let's dive into my interview with Clay Opik. Joining me today in Portland, Oregon, is Clay Opik. Clay, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thanks for having me.
So to give listeners a quick sense of your background, Clay is the Director of Outreach and Special Activities at the Three Rangers Foundation, which is a nonprofit that works to provide deserving veterans with opportunities that will empower them to achieve lifelong success. He served in the U.S. Army's Special Operations for over 13 years. He also owns F3 Pursuits, which provides training and consultancy primarily in the tactical operations and law enforcement community. So, Clay, maybe to start things off, if you were talking to someone on active duty, how would you describe the Three Rangers Foundation and what it is that you do there?
Well, you pretty much hit it on the head. Our mission statement is we're trying to empower veterans to achieve a lifetime of success. And that can involve many things. And we're not a really great big organization, like, say, the Wounded Warrior Project. We're kind of a boutique nonprofit for veterans, I guess you could say. Don't come to us if you're just looking for a handout. We're definitely more of a hand-up kind of organization. We assist all veterans of all branches from all eras. We have a process that combines the veterans, a veteran service officer, and mentors together to make connections and to provide assistance and guidance in their journeys. We're not the type of organization that's, you know, going to hand out backpacks and T-shirts. We're actually making stuff happen in veterans' lives to make them as successful as possible in whatever manner they want in their lives.
That's great because, you know, this is, I think I'm like 140-ish interviews in for Beyond the Uniform. And one of the common trends is that one of the things that helps people so much is when they start becoming proactive, start reaching out, start making connections. And it's usually not the first connection that leads to a job or an insight. It's usually, you know, maybe the 50th or 100th one. But one of the most consistently powerful activities for vets is, you know, networking is a word people don't like, but it's getting to know people and finding out and just kind of getting your name out there. And what it sounds like, one of the things you guys do really effectively is in putting together those three people, starting to figure out, you know, brainstorming about ideas and starting to think of who they should talk to and who they should reach out to. And if I'm understanding that correctly, that sounds great because that definitely seems like a way in which anyone would be benefited by thinking through who to talk to and who, you know, who might be able to help or who to go to and what actions to take.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, networking has been my number one key to success post-active duty. And I'm not a real super social kind of person, but leveraging my network has been the number one thing that I've done to help me out.
That's great. Do you have, you know, just kind of a random question? And I ask because so many people I have on the show talk about how much they struggled with networking and they felt like they were being slimy or salesy or inconveniencing people. Is there any advice you have about how veterans can approach networking in a way that will work for them and feel authentic?
Well, for me, just sitting down with a notepad and not just pulling from immediate friends and family, and reaching back into my past and just documenting the actual physical act of writing down contacts and friends and connections and what they offered. It just helps me visualize and make a bigger picture. For guys in the special operations community, social media was, a big no-no, more or less, or really frowned upon, especially in my era. And making that switch to I am getting out while I'm still in, I need to start preparing for this huge transition. The Army, for the most part, and all services, I'm sure, are the same, does a great job of hiring people, getting people in, but they lack when it comes to getting them out and giving them time to concentrate on building that infrastructure, that network. And I just wish I would have known a little sooner. So, when someone's a year out or something like about that time frame, they really need to start sacrificing some of their what they feel comfortable with and putting themselves out there a little bit.
That's great. And I'm wondering, you've probably seen so many veterans go through three Rangers, and I'm just curious if any trends stand out to you in terms of common challenges you see veterans face when they make that switch to a civilian life and a civilian career.
We don't have a lot of people that come through Three Rangers. We're somewhat selective in what we're capable of effectively helping. So we don't have this massive amount of veterans going through our program. But the ones that do, and some, we've seen failures and we've seen successes. Some of the failings have been failure to prepare. Why they've been in active duty, and just not knowing, I guess, well, just the unknowing of how to do something or accomplish something, and not reaching out to their mates, and then it ends up biting them in the ass when they have to reinvent the wheel when there was that support out there for them. They just didn't reach out to it. They were too prideful, or they just didn't know. And somebody that could have helped them never had the opportunity.
You mentioned failure to prepare, and earlier you kind of said, starting to look a year out. Any thoughts on, what actions someone can take to prepare? Like, what's the anything that you've seen work really well while someone's active on active duty, how they can start to get ready for that transition?
Well, a big one is prepare for your VA registration and any claims that you might be putting forward. You can file them before you get out of the military, and a lot of people don't understand or know that. Really compiling all your medical records, digitizing them if you need to, and getting them before a veteran support officer or advocate from a professional organization, a veteran nonprofit. There's several out there well in advance, will help you out considerably. It'll put your mind at ease also, knowing that you have options out there that the VA or other agencies can provide. Understanding that employment is not something that people might interview you and hire you that day or within a week for several government jobs. The process might be up to a year, especially for positions that require background investigations and have budgetary issues like we have right now, continuing resolutions, and understanding that they can apply for a lot of jobs well in advance, and a lot of employers will hold those jobs for you because they want veterans. They want that well-trained individual that has discipline and a solid work ethic. So they'll be willing to hold a lot of those jobs for you, so you can go from one day wearing the uniform and being in active duty, and then next day being a civilian and immediately having employment and a path forward.
And this could be from your own life or from someone that you've worked with, but I'm just wondering if there's any misconceptions that pop up, you know, when people view, they have an idea of what life will look like as a civilian when they're on active duty, and then they get there and, you know, they find out that something was very off in what they were expecting. Does anything stand out from your own experience or someone you've worked with?
My own experience, when I got out of the military from my first enlistment in the 90s, I thought for sure people would be falling over themselves to get new jobs. I thought for sure that I would have a lot of freedom and a lot of free time, but since I had a lot of that was just trying to get by and making sure I had everything I needed just to survive. And that's it. I think that, you know, you go from being in the military and having a lot of support mechanisms to having none. It's you. And it sneaks up on people a lot of times. And civilians in civilian life, things go oftentimes at a slower pace than what we would expect. When we're in the military, we make things happen in the military. And a lot of times in the civilian world, when you're relying on other people to make things happen for you, it can be very frustrating, very, very frustrating.
That's great. Yeah, I think you're not alone on that either. And I think that it's something I've heard a lot is that, you know, a lot of people expect that when they get out that there's just going to be a job for them, or like you said, it's going to it's more difficult than they expect it to be. And I think that even just knowing, you know, I always use the phrase with startups that everything takes 10 times longer and 10 times more money than you expect. And that's just kind of a mentality that I've adopted that, you know, right or wrong, it makes everything seem a little bit easier because then you're just expecting everything to be a drawn out process. And then if it's not, it's a pleasant surprise. And it almost seems like a helpful mindset for a lot of people on active duty to adopt is like, whatever you think it's going to take, just assume it's going to take 10 times more effort. And if you're wrong, great. But if you're right, at least you're prepared for that and you're willing to go in and actually hustle to get that first or second job. For someone listening, if they wanted to get involved with the Three Rangers Foundation, you had talked about being selective with who you work with. What does that process look like if someone wanted to try to go through your program or be accepted or whatever that looks like?
Well, you know, there are several different ways it can be evolved from being a participant, an actual veteran, to being a volunteer, to being a mentor, a donor, even, you know, a staff member. But if they were interested in essentially applying to the program and wanting assistance from Three Rangers Foundation, they could go to our website, threerangersfoundation.org. Or find us on Facebook and just reach out to us via email or messaging, and we'll get back with them. If someone wants to volunteer, maybe someone that would be a good candidate for our assistance, they can do that also, and we'll reach out.
And I also would like to dive into, you know, just being the director of outreach and special activities. I always like to just kind of highlight different jobs and what that looks like. How would you describe the work that you do, and what does that kind of look like on a day-to-day basis?
Well, so, I'm going to be completely honest. I started out in creating the foundation with John Collette, and I was the first executive director. But it was too demanding of my time, quite honestly, at that time, to fulfill that position. So we searched for an executive director to replace me once we got it started, and that is now Larry Moores. And but I still wanted to be connected, but in a lesser capacity, because all of us at Three Rangers Foundation have full-time jobs. We're all volunteers.
Wow.
Nobody's getting a salary. Day to day for me looks like me making a living, pursuing my employment and pursuing assisting veterans as much as possible. And the good thing is my employment typically is dealing with veterans or even active duty. We created this director of outreach and special activities more or less as a placeholder, so I could still be very involved. We all wear several hats at Three Rangers Foundation at this point in time. But literally every day I am deeply involved with the foundation, whether it's planning and preparation or like this past week, hosting and mentoring a veteran that's transitioning out of the military, which is a very, very rewarding on all levels.
That's great. I didn't realize that you're all volunteer. That's really incredible. And that's such a gift to give back to the military community. I also wanted to ask about, because you also started an organization, F3 Pursuits. It seems like it really capitalizes on the experience you built up in the military. What is F3 Pursuits, and kind of what is that like for you running that?
Well, so F3 Pursuits is my own training consultancy business, and I'd like to tell the listeners it's based out of a failure. So a little bit of background and story. I was in the Army in the early 90s, did an initial enlistment with the Rangers, and got out, went to college a bit, and then they had a massive hiring program in 1996 where they hired 100,000 law enforcement officers across the nation. And with some good advice from veterans, I applied and picked up a position as a federal agent for 8 years. Well, it is now 2004, and we have wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. I'm still healthy. And I decided to get a little more in me, so I resigned my position with the government and went back into the military with full intention of once I was through with my time, the second enlistment, going back to being a federal agent. Well, about an hour before, a year before I was to get out, I dropped my paperwork, gave notice that I was separating from the military. Everything was good. About a month before I was scheduled to ETS, sequestration was put into effect, where the government could not hire anybody. They didn't have the budget or legal authority to hire anyone. So I went from thinking I would be reinstated back into a position with the government to not having any job outlook whatsoever. And it made me think, well, how can I support myself and my wife? And training and consultancy was definitely an option. I had a lot of support from friends and coworkers. I had retired from the military, and I talked to them, created a business, and with their support and mentorship, was able to be successful. And now that's what I continue to do is work with military and law enforcement, training them in more or less the tactics arena. So it was all based out of a failure, but I was lucky to have that network and friends and this background to pull from to turn it around.
That's great. I appreciate your sharing that failure. I know from my own experience and from so many people I've had on the show that some of the best opportunities come out of failure and come out of adversity. And, you know, what in the moment and afterwards seems like a devastating or like this massive setback can sometimes be an opening to an incredible opportunity. And it sounds like in your case, I can just imagine being in that situation. It's like having the rug pulled out from under you and having this sense of security and certainty, and then realizing that's all up for grabs. And then it's great to see that that's something that was, you know, in retrospect, a stepping stone to starting and running and owning your own business. And I can imagine that that really leverages a lot of your strengths, the military, in, you know, teaching this to different law enforcement communities.
Yeah, I certainly did. And you know, I thought there, you know, once the period of time when the government finally got their act together and passed a budget, I'd go back to being a federal agent. But I found that, you know, I really, really enjoyed the freedom that being a business owner gave me. So, yeah, there was a lot of positives that came out of it.
And I always like to try and highlight any resources, especially, you know, if someone's on a deployment or, you know, overseas. Any resources you would recommend? That could be like a movie, books, podcasts, anything that's kind of helped you in your own civilian career that someone on active duty might really benefit from checking out.
You know, I really relied on in other people and personal connections. However, I do like to listen to the Leadership Podcast. A friend of mine and a mentor that runs a business called Self-Reliant Leadership, Jan Rusford, him and his partner, Jim, have the Leadership Podcast. And they study leaders, and they do interviews every week on different leaders in different fields. And there's some fantastic insights, and there is a lot of emphasis on veteran leaders and business people, because Jan himself was a Green Beret back in the day. So that's one I like to turn to a lot of times.
Yeah, that's great. And for listeners, I'll put that in the show notes too, both the Leadership Podcast as well as Self-Reliant Leadership. Well, I always like to end with an open-ended question, and you know that is I've asked you a lot of specific questions about your work with Three Rangers and with F3 Pursuits, but I realize there's probably a lot that you could share that I haven't asked about. And so, you know, given that you've got an audience of people on active duty or recently transitioned veterans, anything else that you'd want to share with them?
Well, I guess the number one thing I'd have to say is especially this time of year, the holidays, is set a personal mission to seek out and find veterans in your local area. You know, they say the two worst things you can do to a warrior are go to war without them and then forget them. So don't forget those other veterans from our past that are out there, and a lot of them are forgotten. Many elderly or disabled or homebound. And this time of year, you could go to any number of different offices or veterans organizations. Identify just a couple, you know, work within your sphere of influence, and go visit with them and spend some time. And you know, they don't want to be forgotten either, and a lot are. So that's what I would recommend to anybody, especially this time of year. And they would definitely be contributing and helping out their fellow veterans.
That's great. Well, Clay, I appreciate your advice on that. I appreciate the work that you're doing in your free time to help the military community with Three Rangers Foundation. And thanks for sharing your story today.
Surface, surface, surface.
All right, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Clay and that you check out Three Rangers Foundation. As always, always open to feedback on what will most help you in your civilian career. Drop me a note at justin@beyonduniform.io. Tweet at me, post on LinkedIn, Facebook, so many different vehicles to get to me. I will be back next week with more interviews with veterans about their civilian career. Have a great week.